1 Corinthians in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're in a difficult section here in God's Word. It's difficult because it really challenges us as American Christians who have so much and who have so much training and who have so much money and who have such a powerful culture around us to learn not to rely upon human methods in our ministry of God's Word, but to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. This was something that was really hard for Corinth. It was a big city. It was a metropolitan city. It was a wealthy city. They had a lot of resources available to them. And even though most of the Corinthians themselves came from the lower classes and those who were poorer in Corinth, they really looked up to the power and the wisdom and the glory of the world. And they thought that that was where the spirituality was really at, and that was the way to really be something in Christ. And Paul has to teach them to not rely upon the world's wisdom, but to rely only upon the power of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the message of the gospel. And so this section is a challenge to us today. Just as the church at Laodicea looked at themselves and thought, hey, we're doing great, we've got money, we've got everything that we need, we've got people, we're successful. And Christ looked at that church and said, you're poor. You've come to rely on mere human strength and human power, and you've completely lost the power of the gospel and the power of the cross among you. And so, as it happens, in many, many churches that are not persecuted, that are not poor, that have what we need, we come to become self-reliant instead of being reliant upon the message of Christ alone. So, throughout these first four chapters, this is the big idea. And the quote from Jeremiah there at the end of chapter 1, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's quoted again in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And so this idea of where is our boast? Where is our confidence? Where do we look for the power in ministry? It's something that the Corinthians were slow to learn. This letter didn't solve the problem because Paul had to write about these same issues in 2 Corinthians. And we know from the history of the church in Corinth, that letter didn't solve the problem either, because 30 years later, another bishop was writing to the church at Corinth and addressing the same issue. It is so hard for us to let go of our self-sufficiency. But Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And that's not just some high-sounding religious thought, but that was his practical approach to ministry. It's not just something that gets said in a song or it's something that's put down in a statement, but this was how he determined to live his life and to carry out the work that the Lord had given to him. That practical reliance on the power of the cross and not the power of man's wisdom. Now, we don't use the word wisdom much anymore. You don't have wise men. You know, you go down, where are the wise men in Lincoln? Well, we don't have any wise men, okay? So if you're going to understand this passage in our contemporary setting, you've got to figure out, well, who are the contemporary wise men? Who are the wise people in our society? What are they called? Where are they? What do they do? Well, they're the guys with the PhDs. They're the ones at the universities. They're the ones who are running for office. You know, these are the people who are wise, who are influential, who are powerful. They're the ones that we look to for answers. Hey, can you solve this issue in our culture, in our society? Hey, what do the scholars say? What do the PhDs say? What do the scientists say? What do the politicians say? Is there somebody that has an answer? Is there somebody that has a solution, not only for society's problems, but for my problems in my life? Where are the wise people that we turn to? Well, we have them. Every culture has them. And so this passage, we need to apply to those situations, to the wisdom of our world. Now, our wisdom is somewhat different from the wisdom that was 2,000 years ago, right? A lot of things have changed in the world. A lot of perceptions have changed. Science has changed completely from the way things were 2,000 years ago. Philosophy has changed a lot from the way things were 2,000 years ago. Our mindset and our thinking, well, we're a totally different culture, a totally different time. You go back and you read some of the wise people from ancient history, and you read some of their stuff and you think, this doesn't make any sense. That they're thinking in totally different patterns, they're thinking in totally different categories. And so we go back and read that and we say, you know, Look at those people back 500 years ago. They thought they had to drain blood out of somebody in order to get them to feel better because they had the four different elements in their body, and if they had too much blood and not enough bile, then they had to do something to fix it, and leeches were part of the solution. You look at that, you just go, that's stupid. Well, 300 years from now, people are going to look back on our wisdom, and they're going to say, why did they believe that? That stuff is so stupid. And see, the wisdom of the world, as Paul says in our passage here, it's passing away. It's temporary. It's always changing. Whether you're talking about science, it's always changing. Whether you're talking about philosophy, it's always changing. Whether you're talking about government, always changing. How long has our system of government been in place? Just a few hundred years. What did they do before that? Well, you know, you got all kinds of different forms of government. And so the way of this world, it's temporary. It's only for a moment. But what's one thing that hasn't changed? This word of the cross. It's the same power that was at work in the Apostle Paul. It was the same power that was at work in the life of Abraham. It's the same power that is at work in your life and my life. It's unchanging truth. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So where are you going to go for the answers to your problems? Where are you going to go for the answers to our society's problems? Where are you going to look for hope and wisdom and power? The word of the cross. And you don't want to mix the word of the cross together with the wisdom of the world. If you do that, Paul says that you nullify the power of the cross. Remember what Paul said in chapter 1, verse 17. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. See, back then they didn't have television, they didn't have movies, they didn't have advertising. What they had was cleverness of speech. And you go back 500 years even, before all this modern technology, and who were the most impressive performers? They were the ones who were on stage. They were Shakespeare, who was writing plays, and you go back and you read that, and it's like, wow, that's impressive speech. This guy really knows how to write. He writes awesome poetry, and he communicates really well. Well, nowadays, we communicate more visually, you know, and you've got your advertising executives, and they know what works. When you watch and you see that commercial, and it's going to stick in your mind, and it's going to sell you on a product, and it's going to produce results. And they've got wisdom, they've got power in order to accomplish things in the world through worldly wisdom and worldly means. Now, I went to a conference last year at Back to the Bible, and a lot of the stuff that was in the conference was good. However, one of the speakers that they invited to the conference, he was an advertising guru. And he was there to tell the church and the pastors that you need to learn how to do better advertising. You know, the stuff that you guys put on television, it's laughable. Turn on the Christian television shows and look at their production qualities and values compared to what you have on ABC and NBC. There's no comparison. If you're going to communicate to this generation, you've got to learn to talk to the world the way the world has figured out the best way to talk, through the visual communication of media. That is the same thing that Paul's talking about here. It's just a different time, a different culture. You have to, as the Corinthians were saying, use the wisdom of the world. You have to use that cleverness of speech. You have to know how to get the message across to a media generation. That's updating this for our temptations today. The PowerPoint is not going to change your heart. A well-done flyer is not going to change your heart. An excellent commercial on television is not going to change anyone's heart. I don't care about the production values, okay? What I care about is how clear is the message of the cross. Because when that message gets across, in the simplest of terms, it is the power of God for salvation. But if you mix human wisdom together with it, what does Paul say? The cross is made void. You teach people to rely upon human wisdom when you use human wisdom to communicate the message. It goes completely contrary to the message of the cross, which is about human inability, human total depravity. Now, you're going to borrow from human inability and human depravity in order to teach people not to depend upon humanity? It doesn't work. It's incompatible. And so we have to be very careful in the church that we do not adopt worldly methods and come to depend upon an arm of the flesh in our contemporary setting, as opposed to relying on the Spirit of God. Now, how many seminars do we go to where we just spend time praying? Not that many. How many of us are so much more drawn towards well, this speaker, you know, he's got really exciting content about management systems. You know, and I want to be a good manager in the church, and I'm not very good at that, and so I got to go hear this expert on managing systems. This guy, he's really an expert in this area of advertising and promoting, and we need promotion as a church, and we need advertising as a church, and so I got to go and do that. And this book over here, it takes all these excellent ideas from psychology and from really helping people deal with problems. And I know there's a lot of people in my church with problems. And so I got to go become an expert on this book and get this seminar or send them to that person. And in all of this, where's the cross of Jesus Christ? Now, you have to give me some time to do a little preaching here. Last week, bulletin insert, the Power for Living that we had. It was quite timely concerning the messages that we're getting here. The title was, A Respected Mental Health Expert Blends Biblical Values and Client Care. Respected in the world, a mental health expert, the expertise and the wisdom of the world being blended together with biblical values. That is being held up here as a worthy goal and as an achievement, when in fact what we're studying in Corinthians points to the very opposite, that this is a moving away from the sufficiency of the power of the gospel and the cross and a turning to the methodology and wisdom of the world. Let me illustrate. Let me explain some of the quotes that are in the article. As she went through the PhD training and the different degrees in psychotherapy, Linda began to consider the relevance of biblical teaching to daily life. And she began to see that the feminist philosophy of her professors was in contrast to the biblical teaching on male and female relationships and issues such as abortion and divorce and marriage. And so a large emphasis in the article, as the title clearly says, is on the biblical values. Now, I'm all for biblical values. Okay, I preach against abortion, I preach against feminism, I preach against divorce. However, those things are not the heart of the gospel message. Those things are important, but the cross of Jesus Christ is the power for transformation, for new life. Now, there are lots of people in the world who have conservative values, but they're not born again. They're not regenerated. You can agree on these things with most of the Muslims in the world. But they need the cross. They need Christ. And so, in order to blend biblical values and worldly thinking on the soul and human behavior, well, yeah, you can do that. Because there's lots of people in the world who have conservative values. But you cannot blend the cross of Jesus Christ together with human philosophy and thinking about human behavior. Because they are at odds. One destroys the other. And when you blend them, what ends up being lost is the power of the cross. Most of the article, or a large portion of the article, was detailing the accomplishments of this lady, the 15 books that she has written, the different programs that she served on as a health expert, and the parenting column that she's written, and the schools that she's been a professor at, all of these things that show that she is a respected expert in her field. But you understand, when Paul came to the Corinthians, he was not coming to be a respected expert. And he says in the verses that we read in our scripture reading that the wisdom of God, the wisdom on how do I live my life, how do I overcome problems, how do I have all things that pertain to life and godliness, they're foolishness to the world. They are moronic to the world. And if you go into a secular school and you start to teach the cross of Jesus Christ, you will not be respected. What you will be is a moron in their eyes. It is impossible to combine the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the cross. The article says, ironically, it took Mintel longer to gain respect in Christian circles than among secular colleges. She became a family therapist at a time when many church leaders were skeptical of Christians who practiced psychology. Well, I guess I'm an old person because I'm still skeptical of how can we integrate psychology and God's Word. The ultimate folly of man's wisdom was demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ. The scripture passage says, they crucified the Lord of glory. Is there anything that is more foolish, that is more stupid, that demonstrates more ignorance spiritually about life and the meaning of life than to crucify the Lord of glory himself? And this is what the wisdom of the world did. And this is what the wisdom of the world continues to do. Now you're going to go to these people and say, I want to learn about human behavior. I want to learn about overcoming addictions. I want to learn about overcoming anxiety and depression and fear. You're going to go to those who are the epitome of foolishness in the sight of God and say, all right, well, let's take what we can learn here and integrate it with conservative values, and then we really have something that can help people. I read the whole article. There was not one word about the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. What I'm trying to do is defend the power of God for salvation. It seems like foolishness. It seems like weakness. People say, well, that doesn't really change lives. Yeah, you can go to church and you can sing songs about it and feel good and have that as part of your spiritual life over here. It's just a little part of you. But, you know, when you're dealing with real life issues, parenting and marriage and health issues and food, not gaining too much weight and self-control. No, those you got to go to the world for their answers and their wisdom for those issues, because the Bible just is not relevant. The cross of Christ, it'll get you to heaven, but it doesn't give you power in your life. Well, that's enough on that. Let's look at our text in the time that we have left, and we'll continue this next week. Chapter 2, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. See, Paul saw his mission as proclaiming the testimony of God. And to testify, do you need someone who is a really great public speaker? Say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't take the stand and testify in this case because you haven't gotten your PhD in testifying. No. Anybody can testify. If you've seen it, and you know what you've seen, you stand on the pulpit, stand on the stand, and you say what you saw. That's what Paul did. He says, when I came to you, I didn't want to know anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. I wasn't there to be an impressive speaker. I wasn't there to show you how much I knew about Greek philosophy and wisdom. I was there to just testify in the plainest terms of the cross of Jesus Christ and to let the power of God be what changes your heart. Because the world can't change your heart, but God can change your heart. He has changed your heart. He is changing your heart. Continue to look to Him and don't be drawn away and tempted by the world's wisdom. It doesn't go anywhere. It's passing away. So that's why in verse 2, he determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he describes his own coming to the Corinthians to remind them of how God worked in them. And we need to be reminded of that as Christians. How did we become Christians? How did we get in Christ? How did we get this salvation and this hope and this power from God? It's just through the simple word of God. This is how you've been changed and how you've been transformed, just like they were. Paul says in verse 3 that he was with the Corinthians in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He had no confidence in himself. He had no self-confidence, saying, well, hey, you know, I've planted other churches. I've gone around preaching the gospel everywhere. This will be a piece of cake. He didn't look at himself and say, hey, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I've been trained, and I am a powerful person and a speaker. He didn't look at that. He looked at the job that he had to do. He looked at his own complete insufficiency. How am I going to bring light out of darkness? How am I going to bring life out of death? How am I going to transform a person from a child of Satan into a child of God? I can't do that. Fear and trembling. Nobody is sufficient for these things. Go back and look at Acts chapter 18 with me. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 11. Paul's in Corinth. He's had some trouble. He was beaten in Philippi. He was driven out of Thessalonica and Berea. He was mocked in Athens. And now he's arrived in Corinth by himself. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He was afraid. He was afraid for his safety. So much so that God had to come to him in a vision in the night and tell him, don't be afraid. Nobody's going to hurt you here. I know I let you get beat up in Philippi. It's all part of my plan. I know you got kicked out of Thessalonica and Berea. I know that they didn't have a church start in Athens, just a few people saved, but here, I'm going to bless your ministry, nobody's going to hurt you, you've got a window where you can relax and enjoy fruitful ministry. And so Paul was there, and it wasn't his power, it wasn't his wisdom, it wasn't his expertise, it wasn't his training, it wasn't his plan, it was God's plan, it was God's power, it was God's expertise, it was God's encouragement, it was the Holy Spirit that caused many people in that city to believe. It's God who changes hearts. And that's what Paul wants these Corinthians to understand, because the world is always trying to get us to think, well, you know, the methods of the world, they work. You know, I've seen people's lives changed by this medication or that counseling method or that seminar or whatever. But God knows what works and what doesn't work. What real change is in the heart of hearts, the change of the affections from sin to God. And that is only done by the power of God. And the power of God is one simple thing. It's the gospel. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. You know it. People need it. You're ready for ministry. You're equipped. You're trained. So do it. Minister to yourself. Minister to each other. Minister to those in the world. You have the answers. You're smarter than the people at the University of Nebraska. Why? Just God's grace. I was smarter than all my teachers at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln because the Word of God is true. And I believed it. I wasn't smarter than most of them in a human sense. They were smarter than me. But I had more wisdom by God's grace through faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul is doing some boasting here because he's trying by any means to get the Corinthians to follow the word of the Lord again, and they seem to only want to follow those that have something to boast about. And so he turns it around and he decides to boast about his weaknesses instead of his strengths. And that's what we have in chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Because of the surpassing greatnesses of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. You want to be a powerful Christian? Be weak. Be weak in your body. Be weak in your intellect. Be weak in your persuasiveness. And you'll see the power of God work to glorify the name of His Son through the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ by those who are stupid and those who are foolish. The early church was accused of this. The church in Nicaragua is accused of this. But what is changing lives? It's not the university in Nicaragua. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understood by those who are thought to be nothing by the world, but preached with sincerity and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, rightly understood. The Corinthians were slow to learn the lesson. Paul had to hold himself out as an example several times, his foolishness, his weakness. Remember what God told Zechariah, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And that Holy Spirit power is what Paul is going to be talking about in verses 6 through 16, that we'll cover more next time. What are we building people's faith on? Are people's faith built on the beauty of our churches, the excellence of our programs, the eloquence of our preachers, the wisdom of our advertising, the slickness of our campaigns? Or is it based on the cross of Jesus Christ? Real power does not lie in the person or the presentation, but in the work of the Spirit. You can preach as eloquently as you want to preach. If God doesn't quicken the heart, you're preaching to rocks and stones and dead men. But God quickens hearts. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the power of God for salvation. The cross. The cross that you're a sinner, that you deserve death, but that God loves you so much that He gave His Son to die in your place. so that your sins could be wiped out. You could be forgiven and you can have eternal life forever. That's the message of the cross. It's a message that makes no sense to the world, but when God opens the eyes of somebody to see and understand, it becomes the wisdom and the power of God for salvation that affects real change, eternal change. Let's close with prayer. Lord God, we ask you to show yourself glorious, and we want you to get all the credit in the church. We don't want anyone to say, well, that church grew because they had a good preacher. We don't want anyone to say, well, that person came to Christ because of so-and-so. Lord, we're just instruments, we're just tools. And you like to use dull and weak tools so that what can be shown is your power and your might and your wisdom. You're the one who does the work of regeneration, God, so you get the glory. Help us just to be faithful proclaimers of the gospel, humble, dependent upon you, dependent upon prayer, dependent upon your word. It is powerful. The word of the cross. Amen. Greet one another as you go. Have a great week, and we'll hope to see you tonight for Lord's Night.